the great themes of the Christian faith is the approachability of our God, the immediate accessibility of our God. Our God is not standoffish.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
You and I have become positionally one with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the best thing that ever happened to us. We've become one with God. We were alienated from God. Now we're one with God. We have a nature that's contiguous with the nature of God. We're creatures made in the image of God, but we're fallen creatures, and sin has invaded our experience and separated us from God. But through the peacemaking mission achieved and accomplished by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into our world, and in particular by his death, burial, and resurrection, we have become positionally one with God through Christ. Practically, we are to manifest this higher oneness that we have with God. Practically, we're to manifest this higher oneness through the unity, the biblical unity and harmony we exhibit with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And for Paul, in Paul's day, that meant even Jew and Gentile coming together in oneness. And in order to do that, we will need powerful resources. In order to achieve that goal, we will need powerful resources. It's those resources, the Christian's great resources, that Paul sort of unfolds for us in this great prayer in Ephesians 3 in verses 14 to 29. We should thank God for the tremendous resources available to every one of us through our union with Jesus Christ. Tremendous resources. All that we need to live this life successfully and all that we need to have a meaningful and a fruitful and a powerful and a fulfilling life. All of it's made accessible to us through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We need to thank God for that. We need to thank God for the tremendous resources available to us through our union with Jesus Christ. Now, there are three facets to Paul's prayer here in verses 14 to 21, which will progressively unfold for us these resources. We're not going to look at this whole prayer. We won't have the time to do it. But if we had the time to look at it, we'd see some very powerful insights. We're going to give a skeletal outline of the overall prayer and then just a few highlights. But there are three facets to Paul's prayer, which will progressively unfold for us these resources. Now, I have a very simple outline of this prayer, verses 14 to 21. The beginning of Paul's prayer, verses 14 and 15, the body of Paul's prayer in verses 16 and 19, invocation and supplication, and then finally the benediction of Paul's prayer in verses 20 and 21. This is acclamation. He acclaims, he praises God. And he praises God for two basic things. One, God's unlimited power, verse 20. God's unlimited power. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. He acclaims or praises God for God's unlimited power and then God's ultimate purpose. He acclaims in verse 21, unto him be glory. That's God's ultimate purpose. Glory in the church by Christ Jesus as a result of the peacemaking mission of Jesus Christ. Glory comes to God in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, we're going to look at a few of these points in a little more detail for just a moment. First of all, do you notice the beginning of Paul's prayer here? It's verses 14 and 15. And I want to emphasize two things in those verses. Paul says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. There are a number of things that are worthy of notice in that passage, but I want to emphasize just two. One, Paul's posture. For this cause I bow my knees. And then two, Paul's parent. He prays unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family, there are various ways of taking that, but I'm taking it as the spiritual family, the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. Paul's posture, for this cause I bow my knees. Now you know the Bible does not spell out or command any one posture for prayer. The Bible requires the practice of prayer. I wonder how faithful we are at it on a regular basis. The Bible requires the practice of prayer, but it's flexible when it comes to the posture in prayer. Paul makes reference here to bowing his knees. Kneeling in prayer does carry with it a certain precious connotation. I'd like to encourage you to do it from time to time. I believe that kneeling is the gesture of full inner submission in worship to the one before whom we bow the knee. It's a gesture of full inner submission in worship. Kneeling is a symbol of surrender and submission. And that's really what Christian people have done. Christians are people who have surrendered to Christ's lordship. So Paul's posture, I think it's a significant insight and something for us to learn from it. And then his parent. Do you notice the Bible says that he prays unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And I think the overriding emphasis, and there are many little nuances and facets of theology and ideas that could be drawn out of those verses and those words there, but I think the overriding idea is that true Christian prayer is a family affair. Our God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and He's the Father of His spiritual family, the church triumphant in heaven and the church militant in earth. And Paul says as he kneels to pray, he says that he comes unto the Father. And that's exactly what you and I do in prayer. We come unto the Father. You know, that's a very interesting little word. That little word unto, it's pros. Little Greek preposition, pros. And it means coming face to face with someone. Coming face to face with the Father. I pray face to face, Paul says, with the Father. So significant, so overwhelmingly powerful is the peacemaking efforts and mission of our Lord Jesus Christ, that now through His finished work, we no longer need run and hide from God. We can come into His immediate presence. We can meet with God, so to speak, face to face. We do it now through prayer. The day will come when we'll actually be ushered into the very throne room of God through the peacemaking work of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the great themes of the Christian faith is the approachability of our God, the immediate accessibility of our God. Our God is not standoffish. He's immediately accessible to every one of us. He invites us into His presence. And that's one of the great privileges and awesome responsibilities of the Christian experience. He invites us into His presence, and prayer is the vehicle which we use or employ to enter that presence. We enter the very throne room of God. And I think it needs to be emphasized once again that true Christian prayer is based on our union with God as Father through Jesus Christ. So Paul says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family, and I'm a part of that family, in heaven and earth is named. That which gives real efficacy to the Christian's prayers, that which gives real efficacy to your prayers and mine, that which gives real efficacy to our prayers is the fact that they are wrapped all around with the efficacy of Christ's finished work on Calvary. And on that basis, our prayers ascend into the throne room of God as a sweet-smelling savor. The reason God's ear is open to every one of us is because we're wrapped all around with the finished work of Jesus Christ. And any man, woman, or child who has placed their faith in the Son of God, who's judicially been placed into the body of Christ, has become a Christian, a believer in the New Testament sense of that term, has really, truly, biblically been born again, our prayers have efficacy. They have power because they're wrapped all around with the efficacy and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Christians are the only people on earth who can call God their Father and be free of hypocrisy, because Christians have been born into the family of God. And as a result, you and I, like the Apostle Paul on this occasion, can humbly and yet confidently approach God the Father and expect that we will gain His ear. He'll listen to what we have to say. That's one of the marvelous results of the peacemaking mission of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to see the body of this prayer, and I'm only going to touch on two of these requests. We've seen the beginning of his prayer, the invocation, his posture, for this cause I bow my knees. His parent, he prays unto the Father. I hope you can call God your Father. And not just parrot the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Not just parrot that. You can say with sincerity and honesty, God is my Father. I've been born into God's family. I've received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If you can say that on that basis, you have efficacy. You have power in your prayers because they're wrapped all around with the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the body of Paul's prayer. This is supplication. And Paul presents four basic requests to the Father, which when they become realized in our Christian experience, unfold for us our great resources. so that we can live out our lives as God intended for us to live them. First, he prays for strength. You notice that in verse 16? He prays for strength, that he would grant you, that is our Father, would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. He prays for strength. That's what every one of us needs. We need the strength of God. That is an evidence of Christian salvation. The presence of the Holy Spirit is an evidence of Christian salvation. The power of the Holy Spirit is enablement for Christian service. And it is this power that Paul desires for the Ephesian Christians. So Paul prays that they might be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Or we might say he prays that they might be made strong with the power which flows out from the Holy Spirit who inhabits them. I want you to be made strong with the power which flows out from the Holy Spirit who's taken up residence within you. There's probably no greater need facing contemporary Christianity than that of being made strong by the Holy Spirit's power. We need to be made strong by the Holy Spirit's power. Each of us knows all too well our weaknesses, our failures, our defects, and our defeats. It is the omnipotence of the indwelling Holy Spirit which we so desperately need as we are faced with our utter impotence in the circumstances of everyday life and in our ministries. We need the power of God's Holy Spirit. You know, I think it's significant that Paul says that God gives this strength to us by his Spirit in the inner man. He gives this strength to us according to the riches of his glory. Do you see that opening phrase in verse 16? He gives this strength to us according to the riches of his glory. I think it's significant that he does not say out of his riches, but according to his riches. And you know, there's really a difference when you think about that. God does not give to us this strength, this power, through the indwelling Holy Spirit, simply out of his riches, but according to his riches. Harry Ironside said years ago, if I'm a billionaire, and there's no danger, at least not immediately, if I'm a billionaire and I give you $10, I've given to you out of my riches. But if I give you $1,000,000, I've given to you according to my riches. The first is just a portion. The second is a significant proportion. According to his riches, he gives. So God gives freely. He gives gratuitously. He gives undeservedly to us according to his riches. He lavishes upon us the presence and the power of his blessed and his omnipotent Holy Spirit. I think that was Paul's meaning in Titus 3, verses 5 and 6. When God says that he has shed on us abundantly the Holy Ghost through Jesus Christ our Savior, he gives to us not out of his riches, but according to his riches.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
That's what Paul is praying for here, that he may dwell as the presiding presence, permeating and possessing every aspect of the human heart.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.